with me shall prosper. It won't work, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work, say no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work, say no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. God will do. God will do what he said he would do, and will stand by his word. He will come through. God will do what he said he's going to do. He'll stand by his word. He will come through. God's gonna do what he said he would do. He'll stand by his word. He will come through. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Against me will prosper. It won't work. Now God's gonna do what he said he would do. He'll stand by his word. He will come through. Now my God will do what he said he would do. He'll stand by his word. He will come through. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
Hallelujah. God bless you guys. I'm happy to be back in the house again. One more time. Man, forsake not the fellowship.
Right.
And as we see this thing unfold, it makes me just want to cling to you guys. Amen. It makes me want to cling to the word made flesh.
Right, right.
I can't miss a time. You know, I see Brother Don Deskin. He's in my neighborhood. He's over at Lowe's, you know, and I see him over there. I'm like, thank God. Amen. Thank God to see another eagle. You know, I love that. I got to see some bride members in my day. Sure. You know, that just lifts me up, lifts my spirits, you know, and, you know, we need to be lifting each other up, you know, and let me just get these announcements out of the way real quick. And I just want to thank Brother Okeo because, man, that brother, man, God bless our brother, you know.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Just watch out for these special services, Thanksgiving dinner service, November 19th. Just watch out for that. And then Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah is going to San Diego from the December 1st to the 4th. And then New Year's service, dinner at 6, and proceeding with the service at 8. Amen. It's an all-nighter. Amen. So God bless you guys, man. Mm. Let's sing 123, Free. Oh, go ahead, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Boy, amen.
Amen.
I tell you what, you guys are sight for sore eyes. All of you guys. Boy, it's been a while.
Yes.
It seems like it's been half a year since I've seen
you.
My everybody.
Goodness, yes.
But, wow. I'm just thankful that I had the urge. I got the burning urge to come here and fellowship.
Amen. Yes.
You know, being away, you know, sometimes, you know, if you're not careful, you know, that flame will kind of flicker down. You know, and if you just ignore it, you know, just, you know, just flame out. And we don't want that. But yeah, get back in as quickly as you can. And I just thank God I had the urge. I mean, I just, something on the inside was just getting excited that it was Wednesday, you know, my first chance to get back. And the closer it got, I'm like, I'm anxious. I haven't seen everybody. Amen. And I'm just happy to be here. So, amen.
Amen.
Amen. 123, free Kia G.
In the blood of Jesus Christ, and I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, yes, I'm saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me. In the blood of Jesus Christ, and I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, yes, I'm saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me. World of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way.
You know, I've been thinking about this song, you know. I'm free from this world of sin, this world of unbelief.
Right.
Used to be, I thought, well, I live good now.
Right.
Nothing to do with anything. But most people look at it that way.
That's
most,
right.
Most denominations. I was thinking about a song we sung before, you know, no weapon formed against me.
No weapon.
And I thought, isn't that the 144,000 song
right
now? Because weapons are against them.
Yeah.
But the devil won't touch one. Just as ordained as we are.
That's right.
And I'm thankful. You know, it's a sad time.
Yeah.
But the word of God is being revealed.
Yes.
Being fulfilled day by day by day. And I appreciate it, you know.
Amen.
You know, you look at the world and you look at their reaction to that. Half the United States, they say, is for Palestine.
Right.
And all the, you know, I mean, they, to quote another one, they've lost their ever-loving mind.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
And I think, Lord, how much worse can it get? You know, it seems to be getting worse every day.
Oh,
every day.
Every
another idiotic idea comes up or something. You think, wow, how much further can it go? But I'm ready to go home.
Amen.
I'm thankful I got a rest. I'm thankful I'm among one of the very few that have an understanding of the Word of God for this day.
Amen.
And humbles me.
Amen.
Humbles me. I could be out there or would have been, should have been, had it not been for Him. out there just lost, just not know which ends up. You know, they don't have a clue.
Right.
Each generation's got weaker and weaker. And it seems like they get weaker and weaker in each generation as they go along. And I think, Lord, not only are they forsaking the Word of God and even religion, they've forsaken common sense. Since they were born with.
That's
right. So I'm thankful for this teaching. So very, very much. Thankful to Ben for every minute I'm here. I'm so thankful. That's why I don't want to miss the service.
Right.
I was teasing Isaiah here earlier. You know, I said, well, you're going to be at church tonight? And he said, sure. I said, well, you know, you've missed a few. You got to live that down. He said, I haven't missed any this year. So he's making a point.
Amen.
You hear where the word's at.
Amen.
That's right.
And that's just the principalities of the doctrines of Christ. Get where the word's at. If you have love for the truth, you'll be where the truth is.
Oh,
yes. Amen.
Amen.
Isaiah.
Yeah. Amen.
I need to shake, you know, stir stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad to be in the house of God tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Glad to know who I am. Glad to be the final voice to the final age. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to put something in because I'm definitely going to get something out. I always get something out of the service when I come.
Amen.
We know what it is.
Yes.
We know what it is. Amen. My sister been going through a little bit of a time. So, you know, we're here to support each other and to hold each other up. Amen. So we're not in this by ourselves. And I'm awful glad to know that.
Yes. Amen.
When you're weak, I'm strong. We just don't fall down in the same places, praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. just want to be an empty cup. You come into this message, you know, it's the difference between us and the world is we are filled with the Holy Ghost. There's no difference between this flesh and the flesh out there besides that God foresaw.
Come on.
And that is, it's humbling because it's not, I'm not trying to get my life together in this house. He said, go and sin no more.
Amen.
He said, you believe me.
Yeah.
When you see me, you see the Father. I sit there and listen like, Lord, just let me pour myself out. I don't want to bring anything to this church. I want to leave Seth at the door. I want to come in here with an expectation. I'm going to hear from God.
Oh, come on.
I come in here, yes, to fellowship, yes.
Yeah.
But I came here to hear from God.
Yes.
You talk about being the last voice, the last age, but we got to speak it.
Amen.
You're talking about, you thought it was tough before. One man getting up.
Right.
One man, Jesus Christ getting up. We have to get the whole entire body up. That's going to take a little bit of revelation.
Amen.
So I just want to, you know, when they played that song, Lord, fill my cup up. I don't, that's all it is. It's not me. I am just as humble. Lord, I got up this morning, breath. You gave me breath. And when there's breath, there's hope. Where there's hope, there's life. And I won't come in here, and the opportunity I do get, to come in here, I'm not going to squander it by sitting on the pews. Got to get up here. I have to state that testimony because when I go out there and Satan tries to do his old six and sevens, you'd be like, hey, listen, Lord, listen, Satan. I know his tricks. It's funny now. But I tell you, I love getting here because this is a truly humbling place. You see the world falling apart, but you're not scared.
Right.
I know the economy's still got to crash.
Yeah.
I know Rome's still got to buy us out.
Yes.
It's been, it said prophesy again. It's already been said.
Come on.
All I got to do is say it again.
Talk about it.
It's that's all it is.
What are you saying?
Everyone's wondering, like, oh, what's going to happen? Who's going to be the house is spinning? Who cares? If this world was my home, he would send angels to fight for it. It's not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm just passing through. So I look at this life and I get up. We have too much to be thankful for.
Amen.
When you start thinking like, oh, well, Lord, man, you know, shake it off. Shake it off. Talking about that fire.
Amen.
You know how you get a fire? You blow some. Blow up.
Right. Blow Amen. On.
Don't let that fire go out.
Yeah.
Land it a little bit.
And you know, sometimes, you know, it's funny because I'll call my mom. I'll call my mom. I'm like, listen, she sends out little scriptures in the morning. I'm up at 4:00. I'm like, I need that. Because, you know, I still have one perfect realm. One realm.
That's right.
You know, that's all it knows is amen.
That's it.
There's two other realms that still struggle on this side.
Right.
But I tell you what, where two or three are gathered, that's a promise. Two or three.
Amen.
Didn't say you had to have a whole body. I got a kick out of it. Taylor's over here. It's like, is this Bible study? There's not many people here. I said two or three.
That's it.
And I counted two, three. I brought three with me.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to have church.
Yeah.
You know, I love what Sister Moore says. You know, at least also says it. I'm going to bring a covered dish. It's a family meal. I'm going to bring something. I'm not going to sit here like a bump on the log. It's Wednesday night. We're all tired. We got up. We've had a long day. But we need to get up. I want to raise my hands. I want to praise God. He's been too good to me. I want to empty my cup out. And like Brother Jay says, if I leave with those same problems, that's my fault. I have all the answers in here. I don't have to come in here with the same problems. Eventually, I'm going to pour myself out. And eventually, I'm going to get a body change. You have a guaranteed promise of a body change.
Amen.
I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't care. I don't care how it's going to happen. But I know he said, you're going to be one of them.
Amen.
You're going to be one of them.
That's right.
Can you ask yourself, you're going to be one of them?
Amen.
I can speak for myself.
Yes.
I can say, yes, I'll be one of them. And I'm thank God I'm one of them. Because not everyone else can say that. You look at these pictures, and I've seen my friends. I still talk to them. They always want to do stuff. I love what Brother Moore said. Your true friends, they won't ask you to do stuff on Wednesdays and Sundays. I started gauging my friends by that. I started gauging them.
You know I'm
because a real friend knows your priorities.
Right.
They know where your heart's at.
Amen.
A real friend should actually be here with you.
Amen.
You know, that's the true test of it.
Yeah.
But I just love this because if you truly, there's blessings and benefits.
Amen.
You pour yourself out, only thing that's going to fill you back up is Christ.
That's right. That's right.
And guess what? You can't fail if you have God.
That's right.
You can't fail. An unending member of this body. I love this message so much.
Amen.
Every time I get to walk in these doors, it's a benefit.
Amen.
It's a blessing.
Amen.
It's a blessing. I don't ever want to walk in these doors with held. Oh, my Lord, this is, God's been too good to me.
Good.
I walk up straight.
Yeah.
We're bold bodies.
Yeah.
Bold body. We're talking healings.
Amen.
We're talking body change.
Amen.
We're talking rapture.
Amen.
We're not worried about what you did on Saturday.
Come on.
We're not worried about if you backslid. We're not worried about that. He said, sin no more. It's unbelief. There's no unbelief in this church.
There's none.
I don't see any unbelievers in this church.
Right.
There was a time you couldn't say that. There's a time you couldn't say that.
Yeah, that's right.
But for this day, Amen. We are believers.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's why I know that when God talks, we don't hear nothing but amen.
Amen.
So we hear nothing but 100% the truth. I'm not spitting seeds out in this day and age. I mean the whole thing. And it's funny, though, because you decide what bit you want to take. You can take a little bit or you can take the whole thing.
Amen.
I tell you right now, I'm going to dump myself out because I'm going to fill myself up with Christ because that's all that is. It's just a benefit.
Yes,
you start talking different. You start walking different.
Yes,
you're like, I am the light. The only way you see Christ is you see me. You should talk different. You should see an outward reflection of that change. I love that because, you know, I always go back to that thing. You know, Brother Branham said, if you say you have a wife, you never produce her. I can doubt that you have a wife.
That's right.
I mean, it's going to show. It's gonna, sure. You said your love for this birthright.
Right. Come on.
It will show.
It'll show.
Oh, yeah.
And you start making a progress. Things start to change.
Yeah.
You start seeing your names on the mowing list.
Yeah, come on.
Start seeing your names on the cleaning list.
Amen.
You start seeing people holding the doors open besides the same two brothers back there.
Right.
You start seeing people making an attempt to walk around and shake hands.
Right.
Those are small things.
Right.
But
yeah.
Those are an outward expression of an inward change.
Yeah.
Inward work.
Yeah.
And that's a small thing. All they said is get up and the Bible says it. Prophesy again.
That's right.
I'll be the first one to say, I'm tired, this flesh is tired, but something within me, something greater.
Yeah,
it'd be easy to sit at home and watch TV.
Right.
It's Wednesday night, it's football.
Sure,
you know, we saw there's something you can do.
Right.
But here in the house, this is the priority. You know, we sit there, and I always get a kick out of it. We always get cheered up for sports events and all that stuff. I want to get here. I remember that. Get rowdy.
Amen.
Get rowdy.
Yes.
Get rowdy for God. I love this because I don't want to sit with my head hung down. He's been too good to me. So thank you, Sister Crystal and Sister Moore, for that song because that brought me almost to tears. Because all I want to do is pour myself out. This is family night. I'm amongst believers. It may have been a rough week. I don't care what Monday, Tuesday did, but Wednesday, in the house of God, we made it one more time. So you guys clap yourselves on the back. You guys beat Satan's system.
Amen.
You guys made it to the house of God.
Yes.
You guys are the last voice
Amen.
To the last age.
Right.
These faces, these hands
right.
are what's going to get
God,
the dead
Jesus.
Up. It's going to be by my voice that I say, get up, little bride.
Amen.
It's going to be with that authority that I say,
sir.
Get up, little bride.
Yes,
it's going to be by that revelation that the bride hears it.
Yes.
If I have to have a revelation. I have to have a new birth.
Yeah.
You can't. You don't even understand it if you don't have a change.
That's right.
So, Lord, thank you that you changed something within me
Amen.
That could pour out the uselessness,
right.
the pettiness,
right.
worried about the things that don't matter.
Don't matter.
He said, clean your plate off.
Amen.
We have one thing to do.
One thing
to do.
Amen.
We can't even worry about that till we've had a rapture.
Amen.
That's it.
That's it.
That's done. That is to come.
Right.
We just have to have a rapture. So,
right.
Lord, thank you for an opportunity to get up one more time where I can say, Lord, you've been too good to me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
My goodness. You know, in the church world, they got to create excuses to get together.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you water down the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, our excuse is the Word of God. We come here for the Word of God. I love that, Brother Seth. I come here to fill myself up with Christ. Because when I walk out these doors, that's all you see. That's all people pull every day. Mm. It's because of what we eat. Where we got a balanced meal.
That's right.
God bless you, sis. You'll be the last one.
I just want to say I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to hear marching orders. I'm old enough to where I remember the time when we used to not be able to come on Wednesdays, and that we were waiting and trying to buy off tickets to be able to come and you know, things like that. And the word,
amen.
The word is priceless. His grace and mercy is I mean, you can't express how much it means to be able to come and sit under the word and to have a place you can actually go. And I'm grateful to be here with you guys.
Amen. Amen.
Let's sing 155, Food in the Storehouse, Kia G.
Yes.
Oh, Brother Tom, come on, I'm sorry. Come on,
amen.
Brother Tom.
Amen.
Can I take a drink of this water?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
I'm dry.
Amen.
Bless our brother, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
I could go on forever about things that don't go right, but I ain't even bringing that up.
Amen.
Because I'm not going to make Satan a hero.
No.
As a matter of fact, I don't battle him no more. And I would say something that I worked part-time at McDonald's, and I just threw the trash in the gondola. Well, here comes some old man, had a big old brown dog with a rope tied around his neck. He said, "Is there any food in there?" I said, "Brother, you don't want that food." I said, "It's in the gondola now, it's garbage." He said, "Well, can I get some water for my dog?" But we tried to spout behind it, and it wouldn't work. I said, "I'll tell you what you do. I'll take my garbage cart back up there, and you come with me to the building, and I'll meet you out here." So he came up there, and I went in there, and I said, "I'll get your dog some water." And while I was in there, that voice spoke to me and said, "Give him some money." Because I normally don't give money unless the Lord tells me to. So I gave him some money, and I set the cup of water down for the dog, and the dog drank it, didn't spill it. He was glad to get it. And I told him, I said, "Brother, have you ever prayed to God could help you?" Because he told me he lived in the woods and how wrong his wife did him. I said, "I really don't want to hear nothing about that." And I said, "I want to help you." I said, "You can get an application inside the building." I said, matter of fact, take this money and buy that dog a hamburger and buy yourself one too. But he said, "Well, you know, I prayed to God and never got an answer." I said, "Well, wait a minute. How do you know that this is not the answer? God's finally answering your prayers." And I said, "You know, Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you give me drink." So, I told him, I said, "Look, what I want you to do, I want you to come back. You know where I'm working. And I want you to give me a good report that things has turned around for you." So I don't know yet, but I'm just believing it'll happen. But that was one of the little episodes, the reason I'm still here. I had to give a dog some water and give a man a hamburger. And you know, I told Brother Jerry, I said, "You know how it made me feel so good? I need to do more of talking about Jesus Christ." And so I hope I don't mess this song up. I think it's done in G. It's "He Knows My Name."
Amen.
Let me get my glass.
Amen. I understand that. Amen.
I don't just have Parkinson's, but I'm 75. That don't help matters any.
Well. Amen, Lord.
I thought there used to be a thing with the words come up on the back. Well, I'm still going to need my glasses. Okay. Give me a G.
There you go.
I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. I have a Father. He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. Well, He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. I have a Father. He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. And He hears me when I call. Thank you.
God bless you, Brother Tom. 155, food in the storehouse. Course. Yeah. Kia G. I'm happy to be here tonight. Let's get him up. In this day, men are in dark from the true word. Many will part, refusing to heed the word of God. For this our day, a word for the bride Jesus has sent out of His mouth. The word of God went, spoken to us by God's prophet. For this our day, is this food in the storehouse? There's food in the storehouse. There's plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. No shortage of meat, no shortage of water. Come, let us feast, my sister and brother. Plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. Down through the years, down through the years, these tapes have went around and around. This world they are sent, feeding the sheep the word of God that is so pure. Stay with the word the prophet has said. Don't add to anything I said. I stay with the word
given to us for this our day. There's food in the storehouse. There's food in the storehouse. Yes, there's plenty of food. No shortage of meat, no shortage of water. Come, let us feast, my sister and brother. There's plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. In this day, men are in dark from the true word. Many shall part, refusing to heed the word of God, for this our day. A word for the bride Jesus has sent, out of his mouth the word of God went, spoken to us by the prophet. For this our day, oh, there's food in the storehouse. There's food in the storehouse. There's plenty of food. No shortage of meat. No shortage of water. Come, let us feast, our sister and brother. Plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. Oh, there's food in the storehouse. There's food in the storehouse. Of meat, no shortage of water. Come, let us feast, my sister and brother. Plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word.
Amen. I'm gonna sing one more song, but that the verse of that the song we just sang, "Food in the Storehouse," is kind of interesting given where it comes from. The story comes from when Joseph had those dreams about the famine in the land. And then you all know the story of Joseph, the dreamer, but he had the story about the famine in the land, and he told him, said, "Hey, we need to store up this food. Because there's going to come a time when there's not going to be any food left." That's what the dream was telling him. 7 years. So when he stored up that food, that's what led to Joseph being able to get his family back. That's what led to the power coming back to him. All those things happened because Joseph knew where the food was at. And he stored it up. So they were eating when everybody else wasn't eating. There was food. There was abundance of food when everybody else was starving. They had more than enough when everybody else couldn't get any. So when we say there's food in the storehouse, there's a little background to it. We're eating in abundance. I'm living in the overflow. I've got more than enough food for me. I've got enough to share. You know, Joseph was able to share. He brought his family in and said, "Let me help you out." Freely gave. He didn't hold a grudge, because he could have easily held a grudge to his brothers. He didn't hold a grudge, none of that. Thank you, Brother Doug. I appreciate it. So that's where that song, and I love hearing that. But the song I want to sing tonight is "Trust in God." Brother Jeremiah and Levi and Micah sang it the other day, and I just love this song. And I keep singing the song to myself, and I'm singing it tonight. But I just thought, man, you know, God always hears me when I pray.
Yes, He does.
He always hears me when I pray.
Amen.
And so, you know, I think about, like, for my birthday, I prayed for a friend to have a good report, and God answered it.
Amen.
I could pray for somebody to get a job, and God will answer it. You know, Pastor Moore, I don't remember, did you share it, but Eula got her job, you know, so that was prayers. She hadn't had one since June. Comes here, and we pray about it, and God shows up one on Monday. I don't know. You tell me what the common denominator is. But when I speak, God hears me.
That's right.
And you got to put yourself in that, you know. So I'm coming again tonight. That's how I come here. This is my emergency room. I come here to see the life giver. I come here to see I come here with some authority. I say, Lord, I want you to hear me again. I'm coming here. I got some friends I'm putting before you again. And I'm not praying. I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm excited to hear the report because I know he does it miraculously. He does it better than I could think of. He heals better than I could imagine. He gives more than I even wanted. I'm living in the overflow. Amen. So let's sing the song, Trusting God.
Thank you.
I don't know how. I mean, I'll sing as best I can, but I've just been singing to myself so you guys can help me out. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. On Calvary is more than enough. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. In God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior, all the day. Oh, I trust in God. Hallelujah. Yes, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who ever fail. He will never fail. Yes, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who never fail. He will never fail. Let's sing that again. Hallelujah. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one never. He will never fail. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Trust in God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight thankful for another opportunity to just praise your name together with believers. Lord, in this dark world, we come into the light to be surrounded by believers that just believe the word. The Bible says, will I find favor when I return?
Yes, Lord,
yes, Lord you will.
Yes.
There's a group of people that believe the word. Lord, we're coming tonight just to open the word and let it be a blessing, nourish, and a strength to our bodies as we travel throughout the week. Lord, we're ready to go tonight. But you said plant your potatoes, so we're going to come and hear the word and get our marching orders. Lord, open up the word for the hearer and the speaker, Lord. Lord, bless the prayer requests that are spoken and unspoken. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here tonight. I feel good. I got tears in my eyes and stuff like that, but I'm kind of like Brother Chris Loudon when he said he prayed for compassion. I got a lot of compassion. I come in here and I see God's blessings. It's hard to just be quiet about it. I mean, I just see it so much. It's like, my goodness, how could you doubt a God like that? And I see it in just little stuff, and it's little stuff to the rest of the world, but it's big to me. You know, you see somebody like a brother Seth, and see he's strong. He's a strong man in this thing. I've been with Seth for a long time. I remember when Seth didn't know what it was. I remember when Seth didn't know who he was. He's got the answer today. He knows what it is. He knows who he is. He's standing strong. He's not shaking. Not shaking by anything. He can have a life problem, a wife problem, a job problem, a kid problem. None of those things shake him. He can have a Seth problem. That don't shake him no more. That's just one blessing. I can see Brother Micah. I remember watching Micah at 5 in the morning. Little kid, little bad little brat. Never thought anything good to come of it. That boy's so good. That wasn't just whoopings that did that. That's the word of God. A little bit more than that. I've seen people that get whoopings that don't turn out that good. And this is the word of God, but that's just a blessing. And now he's here today. Well, he can help his dad. He can help. I mean, now he's a help. He can be a help to the church. He can help other young people. You know, see the testimony of Daisy. See Riley. These are small examples, but I remember praying for them to be born. I remember praying for Levi, Jeremiah, saying, I just want a boy. And I'm sitting there watching him sing the words to the song. You want me to be sad about that? I'm happy. I sing because I'm happy. I know his eyes on the sparrow, and that's the little bird. I know he's watching over me. And these are tears of joy. You know, I got a kick out of it. Bailey gave Sister Mel a picture the other day, and I was jealous. I was like, hey, Bailey. I'm like, I love you too. She didn't say anything. She just came back a couple minutes later with a picture. I was bragging about it. But I remember praying for Bailey. I remember when she got so sick, and we were just praying for it. But these are just little examples of when God hears me. I know you're praying, but I know he answers me. So I pray like a believer prays. I remember when Sister Dawn was injured, we had a little birthday thing, and I remember getting up here, and I was so confused. I was like, what do we do? And the word came across that we pray like believers is what we do. That same God that healed this, that took care of that, just that same God that took care of the lion, the same God that took care of the bear, is going to get you through this Goliath. Amen. That same God. So now I pray like a believer on every prayer. I remind myself. Yes. Oh, I told y'all a story about the... I'll get started in a little bit, but I'm happy to have some home cooking tonight. I'm the chef tonight. So I'm letting you taste a little bit of the sauce that I'm making. Let you know why I'm so happy to be up here. Why I can poke the devil, because I'm walking the devil down now. I can walk him down now. See, that's a boxing term. When you get hit by somebody and it don't shake you, it don't knock you out, you drop your hands and start walking them down now. I can walk them down now. You can throw your best shot at me now. At first, you start off the fight blocking because you're nervous. You're thinking, maybe if he hits me, he might knock me out. It might hurt me. You give me your best shot and it don't knock me out, I start walking you down now. I start walking you down now. I leave my hands down now. I can just pop you whenever I want now. I can hit now whenever I want. I can walk you down now. I come through here and I see every person. I see it. And I'm like, that's another blessing. That's another blessing. That's another healing. That's another miracle. That's another shot that Satan took his best blow and didn't get us. We're here on a Wednesday night and he didn't get us. Just letting you taste a little bit of the sauce and why I'm so happy. Oh, we're such a blessed group. We're such a blessed group. I just think, my goodness, why couldn't you be happy now? With the words that we get here,
What else do you want? What else do you need? And give you money, you'll spend it. You'll run out of it. One of the worst things you can do for somebody is give them a lot of money. I deal with estates all the time and real estate, and I'm like, man, this is terrible. Makes me not want to leave my kids a dollar. It just tears people up. That's money. Popularity, we're seeing what that does to influencers. Messes them up. And I'm just looking at this, I'm saying, thank God we got a word that keeps us right in the middle of the road. So I'm going to get started here. I'm just anxious to be here. I'm happy to be here. I'm praising God to be here. I praise God for Brother Okeo. Appreciate him preaching and bringing the word to us. He preached three messages, and he was just going through the progression of Brother Branham and his ministry, how Brother Branham was figuring things out in different stages of his ministry, just like me, just like you. You have different stages of ministry. You have different stages of lives. Now, right now, we're watching Henry's beginning stages of life. He's going to have more stages. Nobody's going to be surprised when Henry grows up and starts walking and talking. Why would you be surprised that Brother Branham grew in this thing? Why would you be surprised that he had a progressive ministry? That's the way God does it. He always has a progressive ministry. So I appreciate Brother Peter Okeo bringing that out. And I appreciate the freedom that he had to be able to preach it. You know, there's not a lot of churches that he can preach that at. That he can come in here and just be free and share what he knows and talks about it. And, you know, this message can get deep. This can get deep. I mean, we're fortunate that we've had this truth since 78. So we've been deep for a long time. We've been living in the ocean for a long time. So, but I appreciate somebody else that can swim. You know, come on out here and fellowship with me a little while. Everybody else is afraid to get out the water. They don't want to fellowship. This is in the deep stuff. But I appreciate that because, in one sense, what he was talking about would be controversial everywhere else. And we see it as just a natural progression. Of course he had a prophetic ministry. Of course he was an evangelist. Of course he had the signs. Of course he had the one. Jesus had the same things. We have the same things. Of course he had the first and second pool. Of course he had to have to go to the third pool. Those are progressive. Those are steps. Brother Branham had steps. It's not even controversial to us. So it's kind of interesting because sometimes people think that you're going to come here and talk about something controversial, but it's like those are that's our foundation. We're built on stuff that's controversial. Fairborn is controversial. Everything we do is controversial. Everything from the music to the blacks and the whites to the race issues to how we deal with politics, how we deal with where you sit, how we deal with how you testify. It's all controversial to the rest of the world. But I thank God we got a balance in here. So Brother Jeremiah and Pastor Moore, they were preaching. One preached on true headship and the other one preached on doing your job. And then Brother Peter Okeo came in there and started talking about the depths of the message and Brother Branham. And I thought, man, you know, that's a lot. I didn't know where God was going to go with it. And I was just sitting there and there was one side of me that was getting a little overwhelmed. And I was like, well, what happens when you get overwhelmed? Well, let's pass some more directions. Just keep it simple, soldier. Keep it simple, stupid. Kiss method. Get back to the basics. And I was like, okay, Lord, restore to me my joy. That's what I want you to restore. I even like how he said restore. Don't give me joy, meaning I didn't have it. Restore what I already had. Amen. Restore to me that joy. And I looked at that. I said, okay, that's the direction I'm going to go tonight. Because, you know, it can get deep and you can get in there and go, you can start doubting yourself. Because that's where Satan likes to reside in knowledge. He does. Because you'll start thinking that you can figure this out. You can't. The same thinking that you did to get your first revelation is what the same thinking you're going to get for the next revelation. You had nothing to do with it. You had nothing to do with coming to Fairborn. You had nothing to do with who was going to preach it to you. You had nothing to do with God giving it to you. You had nothing to do with the timing that you received it. All that same thinking is what you got you the first revelation is what's going to get you the second one. Because what can happen to you, and I'm going to tell you from experience, I've been in this thing over 30 years, what can happen is you'll think that you're going to study up another revelation. You'll come in here and Brother Peter Okeo and you'll go, okay, well, I'll go get some of these books and read them and then I'll get me another revelation. No. You'll get some more information. You will never get another revelation unless God reveals it to you. You can't even put the quotes together the way it needs to go together unless God reveals it to you. I don't care if you got the tablet. I don't care if you listen to all the books. I don't care if you tattoo them on your body. You will never get them unless God gives you a revelation on it. He is the only revealer of the word. It went, Brother Branham, if you want to really get down to the quotes of it, he said, this won't come by your studies. So I go with what the prophet said. This won't come by your studies. And in case there's another Pharisee or Sadducees out there saying, oh, you're telling me not to study, telling me not to do. No, your pastor said, read your Bible and pray. Amen. Brother Branham said, read your Bible and pray. So there's a benefit to reading your Bible and praying. There's a benefit to knowing the word of God. There's a benefit to knowing your promises. Amen. You know, there's benefits at work that you don't know about if you don't read it. You can be sick at home and not have disability because you didn't know you had disability. If you read your benefits, you would have called in the HR administrator and said, hey, I need to go on FMLA for the next couple of weeks. Now, everybody that didn't read their benefit package is like, what's FMLA? What's disability? What's those terms you're using? How did you get that? How did you get the rest that you got? Oh, I just read in my benefits package. This is something that's already been paid for. That's what happens when I read the Bible. I start reading my benefits package. And if there's terms in there that I don't understand, you know, I come back in on Sunday night and say, hey, what's FMLA? What does that mean? Explain it to me. Explain these benefits to me. I want to be able to use this. I want to be able to use this on Satan when he pops his head up. I want to be as strong and bold as Brother Seth. When he pops his head up, I want to talk like Pastor Moore when he says, I tell Satan to sit over in the corner. He's been battling me all week. I want to be able to send him on flight. I don't want it to be a long Wednesday. I want it to be a short Wednesday. I want to feel like I just woke up, like this is morning service. That's how I want to feel. Oh, man, the ability to be able to recognize Satan and all his tricks. And I'm going to get into a scripture here before I get started. But today, Wednesday, was kind of crazy, and we all have crazy Wednesdays. But this was getting crazy, and I realized that it was just Satan. And then it changed everything. So we had to pick up this package and all this kind of crazy stuff. So this semi had to come from Columbus. We were supposed to meet somebody in Columbus, but they dropped it off somewhere in the wrong spot. So the guy picks it up, and it's this drywall. I couldn't pick it up. 300 pounds. It's this drywall that has lead on it that you put on, like, x-ray rooms. Brother Don knows about that. Brother Ted probably knows about that. The drywall with the lead on it. Anyway, drywall is heavy enough as it is, awkward to carry if you don't know how to do it. You show yourself unapproved when you first grab drywall if you don't know how to do it. You carry it all wrong. But this drywall is like 300 pounds. So it gets dropped off in Columbus. We got to tell the guy to bring it up here. Well, this guy brings it up, and he's like, I'll be there at 5. I'm like, okay. I'm getting close. I don't really like working on Wednesday anyway. Now that I'm out of hospital, I can control my schedule. So Wednesdays, I try to stay away. He was like, I'm going to drop it off at 5. I'm sitting at the storage unit at 5. He's like, it's going to be 5:30. I'm coming from Columbus. Traffic. I'm like, the guy's still got to unload it. I'm counting back. I'm like, the minutes are ticking. I'm like, they got to bring all that in here, take it off the truck, and then I got to lock it, and then I leave. So he's doing all the math. Everybody does that. And he says, I can't be there till 6. And I'm like, He shows up at 6, and those guys are taking their time, just getting in. I can't even rush them. I mean, 300 pounds apiece. I can't pick anything up, so I'm just sitting there watching them. So it's hard for me to kind of kick them in the butt, like, hey, keep moving. I got somewhere to be, you know. They're all holding. I can't do anything, so I'm just sitting in the truck like, okay, count down. Maybe I can just leave them or something. I don't know. The semi, when he goes to back up, his tire hits the curb and goes flat. So we're about to be stuck in this storage unit because the semi is at the door of the storage unit. I'm looking like, oh, Lord. I'm about to walk out and take an Uber because I'm not about to be stuck here. I don't even know anything about semis and how to get the tire and all that. I guess it can roll for so long after that, but whatever. So I'm watching and I'm like, oh, Lord, this has gotten worse and worse and worse. And so then I'm sweating a little bit thinking, I'm supposed to preach. Brother Jeremiah sends me a message and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, it's Wednesday. I got to preach. And I'm like, and then when it hits me, I was like, you got to preach. That's what's going on. I was like, that's what's happening. Satan, I see you. You're trying to hide like a 2-year-old. You're standing behind the curtains, and I see your feet. I know what's going on. I said, I know what's going on. I told the driver, I was like, can you back up? He was like, yeah, I can back up. I was like, here's the key. Here's the check. Y'all put it in there, take a picture, and send it to me later. I got to go. I'm out. I'm not picking up anything anyway. I'm just standing here. But it was all those things in my head that, oh, I got to watch this. I got to watch that. Nobody's stealing 300-pound piece of drywall. Just put it in the storage unit. I'll see you later. Take a picture of it. I'll count the 11 sheets when I get there and talk to you later. But that's just a small example of where you recognize what Satan's doing, and then you can turn course. But that can happen in everything. You can be in an argument with your wife, and you've got to stop and go, whoa, honey. Do you know what's happening here? Yeah. Satan's trying to get in here. Do you see him? Let's go ahead and snuff him out. Let's get a little closer. Yeah. Let's get a little closer. Let's get back. Let's restore the joy of why we got together. Why don't we talk about our honeymoon for a couple minutes before we get back to this? Why don't we talk about why we love each other before we... Let's get Satan out of here, and then we can deal with that problem. It just takes a little shift. That can happen on a job site. You can be arguing with somebody, and you got to stop and say, this is just Satan. He's trying to interrupt the service. And that's what made me think of even Pastor Moore and Brother John when Brother Childress prayed for Sister Alice.
Yeah.
Sister Alice had died. They said, that's just Satan trying to interrupt the service. So you can put it from death to drywall pieces. When Satan's just trying to interrupt the service, just speak the word and move on.
Amen.
See, because we put too much thought into what God's got to do. Just speak the word. He said, whatever you bind, he didn't say what you could bind. He said, whatever you bind.
Amen.
Whatever you bind, I'll bind. And whatever you loose, I'll loose. We put all these stipulations and et ceteras and quantities and periods and conditions on it. God don't have terms and conditions on us. This is an unconditional covenant.
Yes.
See, I got too much word that backs me up.
Oh, yeah.
I know too much about my benefits. Anyway, before I get all excited anymore,
Amen.
Let's read a scripture.
Right.
Now, this is over in Psalms 51. And this here is, David is basically consumed with guilt. And he's talking to God. And this is right after the Bathsheba affair. So we all know the story of that.
Yes.
It's good to read about it and know what happened. It did produce some goodness out of it. But David went through a little bit for that. But in this scripture reading, he starts off like, Lord, I've sinned. I've come short. I've done this. I've done that. And you can read through it. So he goes through and he starts saying, you know, Lord, have mercy on me. Wash me. You know, acknowledge my transgressions. And he's going through. Same thing we would say. Lord, I know I have been a bad boy. Lord, I know I have been living up to my full potential. Lord, I want to do better, etc. Well, let's go down to verse 10. Let's start there. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. The scripture that's going to be for my title. Restore unto me the joy of thou salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Restore my joy. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Because there should be joy in this thing.
Amen.
There really should be joy, Brother Isaiah. Now, like, I the brothers were talking about, you know, works following and those kind of things. And there's joy even in the works of the Lord. You know, Brother Tom's talking about that story about helping somebody out. You should be joy in that. Jesus even said, by this shall all men know that you have love for one another.
Amen.
That's the most important commandment. You keep that one, it keeps the rest of them.
Amen.
If you love somebody, you don't steal from them. If you love somebody, you don't commit adultery on them. If you love somebody, you don't kill them. It takes care of all the other 10 if you just do that one.
That's right.
I thought, my goodness, we the church world keeps putting the cart before the horse. They want all these things and then nothing to follow. They want the signs. As a matter of fact, that's what they even said to Jesus. The Sadducees and Pharisees said to Jesus, why don't you just show us a sign?
Right.
And then we'll believe you.
Right.
That's the cart before the horse.
Right.
Those things are supposed to follow. They're supposed to follow the believers.
Right.
Those are signs that are supposed to follow. That's how you even can touch somebody. You can see the signs. And if the word doesn't follow it, or if the word's not there, don't even worry about the signs.
Right.
Because, you know, even Brother Peter O'Kell, he said, you can't really, that Holy Spirit falls on the just and the unjust. It's like rain. It waters the weeds and the grass.
Right.
So you can't really trust that in a certain sense on the first level. You got to let that go a little bit deeper.
Amen.
What does somebody do with the word? When the word comes across their path, is it just yay and amen? Or do you have something else to say about it? Do you have another opinion? That means there's something else in you that disagrees with the word of God.
Amen.
Nothing on the inside of me disagrees with the word of God. I don't care when I'm tired. I don't care when I'm sleepy. I don't care when I'm upset. I don't care when I'm happy. I don't care when I've got it all or when I've lost it all. I always agree with the word.
Amen.
Matter of fact, even when I'm wrong, I turn quickly to the word. I quickly agree with it. See, when you can start recognizing that, you can start focusing on things that's eternal. And I thought, man, I'm preaching to you tonight, restore that joy and be happy. And here we are in the midst of wars and the rumors of wars and transgressions and things going on. The world is in upheaval. But where have we heard that same terminology? It's in the Bible.
Amen.
It talks about these signs.
Amen.
Matter of fact, even when Jesus was talking to those Sadducees and Pharisees, he said, you can discern the weather. You can see when it's going to rain, but you don't know the signs of the time. You don't know that the Son of Man is supposed to show up at this time.
Right.
That's how it is with the church world. They can tell you that it's going to rain tomorrow, but they don't know when Jesus is coming back.
Right.
I can tell you he's here now.
Amen.
The word is on full display right now. You know, I've looked at that and I go, my goodness, because even when we talk about things that are to be, there's a pause there that should give you joy. The rapture can't happen until I get out of here. I am the rapture. What happens after the rapture is the tribulation. So this is not the tribulation. See, because you can see all these things going on and go, whoa, what if that comes over to me? I won't go through the tribulation. That is not one of my scriptures that I will be fulfilling. When the tribulation is going on, I will not be here. I will be raptured. Then you can go to things that are to be. But don't get it out of order, because the church world, they get tired of waiting on God. They get things out of order. They've got a cow, like Brother Branham said, eating up in the tree. Don't tell me I'm in the tribulation right now. Don't tell me I'm in the marriage supper right now. Don't tell me that this is God's water. No, this is natural water here on earth. When I go to heaven, he's going to have a meal prepared for me. Jesus said, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. That's what I hold on to. That's what I focus on. That's what gives me joy when I see the rest of the world in darkness. That's what gives me hope when I see these things. Matter of fact, the scripture even says it's Christ within you is the hope of glory. That's what I got. I got Christ in me. I even like how Brother Peter O'Kale said. He said, you're not even looking at the real me. This is just a dwelling place for me. This is just a veil. This is just a veil. If I took the sweater off, you wouldn't say, that's Jay. It's just something that covers me. This flesh just covers me. It's not me, so I can wear this thing out as much as I need to. I'll take it off and put on my glorified body and keep it moving. That's the real me. That's who agrees with the word. Oh, my. I thought, my goodness, we're held down by so many baggage. Once all that's lifted, you know what the Bible says? We'll move like a thought. We'll move like a thought. That's what the Bible says. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. I'm looking forward to moving like a thought, because right now I got all this stuff on me. Yeah. You don't even realize how much you have on you. And Pastor Moore, you said it best. You were talking about how, you know, you have a job and you don't even realize how much pressure is on you until you're not there anymore. You know, you take a day off, or you go to a different job, or you go to a different department or something like that, and that pressure is not on you. You can literally feel it lift from your shoulders. You know, and you know, for kids, you know, it's like if you're watching a suspenseful movie. If you paused it and just started thinking about something else, you'd feel the suspense just lift off of you, because you're not caught up in that moment anymore. That's what it is like at a job. It's so much pressure, you don't even realize this pressure on you. It's just beating you down. I mean, it's making you shorter. It's pushing you down. You sit with a slouch. I mean, it affects everything. It affects how you eat, how fast you eat. I mean, that pressure starts to affect everything on your body. And then when you get out of it, you say, oh, that's how I feel every time I come to service. I come in here and I sit down and I go, oh, I can finally breathe. I thought I had allergies. I was out there and it was so stuffy. I was out there and it was so hate-filled. I was out there and it was so greedy. And I was out there and it was so lustful. I come in here and it's just peace. Oh, this is the easiest time to serve God. If I was ever going to fill my cup, I want to fill it up at every service. I want to dump out all that dirty water, all that salty water, because that world will make you salty. You get salty dealing with that. You get in line and somebody cuts you off, or somebody does this, or somebody does. All it does is gets you salty. It just keeps trying to, they just keep trying to put salt in your water. Put salt in your water. Put salt in your water. You come in here and I got nice, clean water. It's just pure. I get the fellowship. The songs are different. The testimonies are different. I think about, when I'm even in here, I think about my job different. I'm like, I can do another day. I can handle that boss tomorrow. I'll be all right. I can make it again. I think I got enough in me to get to Sunday. You've given me enough. You give me what I needed to make it through. You go through something in life and you're thinking you got to pray, you got this. And you come into church and you go, you know, that's not even that big of a deal. I've turned it over to the Lord and he'll work it out. Amen. He said he'll fight my battles. If I just hold my peace, you start hearing the words of the song a little bit different. You go, yeah, I do have help in here. I got people that are actually cheering for me to make it. Amen. That's rare. Amen. That's rare. That is rare. See, we should find comfort in these things. Matter of fact, the scripture says comfort each other with these words. These words. These words. What? These words of eternal life. These, we're comforting each other with the promises of God. I even liked how the brother was talking about how going through the ages, we're now in the eighth day. We knew that. We know that we're in the eighth day. But let's just a little refresher. that means it's over.
Right.
That means the ages are over. When you're in the eighth day, that means seven's over. I don't know if we know math. The math is mathing. When you're out of seven, there's no more. You're in the eighth day. That means you're in an eternal day. The time shall be no more in this day. And you go, well, what does that mean? That means there's no more saving time. There's no more saving time. There's no more getting in the boat anymore. You know, this is like Noah's Ark. The door is closed. Which, you know, a lot of times people focus on the door being closed and the people on the outside. I'm on the inside of the boat. I care less who's outside. They had 120 something years to get inside. They had time to get inside. Matter of fact, brother Peter O'Kay will remind us that 1957 is when Brother Branham indicted this nation and said that was it for America. So since 1957, it's been over for America. And you go, well, how does that make up for this? I've always been a believer. Don't worry about when I was born. I was born in 1980. That didn't have nothing to do with it. The real me, I told you who the real me is. I wasn't born on any day. I've been a part of God since before 1957. I've been a part of God before Brother Branham. Where were you, Job? Where were you, Job, when the sons and daughters shouted for glory? That way, he's talking about me. I was shouting for glory because I knew who I was then. Matter of fact, you can't even go to heaven unless you come from heaven. Let's throw that in there. That means I'm going back home. That's why we can say this world is not my home. I don't even come from here. I'm just a manifested seed here that's showing up on the scene because God saw this, but he's always wanted to fellowship with this, but I'm going back home. Oh, my. That should give us joy. That should give us peace in this hour. See, because I want to hammer this home more and more because I don't want you to think that knowledge is going to do it. It won't happen. You know, and praise God for Brother Peter O'Kale. He's been in things for a long time. He's been doing this thing for over 20-something, 30-something years, Pastor Moore, right? Almost 40 years? Over 40 years. You hear Brother Peter O'Kale quote the Bible, quote this scripture, quote that, and go, page 37, paragraph, da-da-da, and you're thinking, man, I want to. Nope. You ain't 40 years in. You just found out where to get the Brother Branham books. Right? You just found out. You just found out we got a library. You just found out how to listen to him online. And you're saying, I want to get there. Give yourself 40 years. If at the end of 40 you can't quote it, then maybe we talk. But give yourself a little time. Because what I'm telling you is that Satan's going to get in there. He's going to get in there. He just needs a little crack. He's like a mouse. You know, mice can get in anything like the size of like a dime. You don't give them any room. Caulk those holes up. I'm doing that for you tonight. I'm caulking those holes up for you. I'm saying, don't let Satan get in there at all. I don't care if you can't read the scripture. I don't care if you can't read at all. That has no bearing on whether or not you can get a revelation from God. Matter of fact, it doesn't matter if you can get this thesis or this dissertation in Italy or Latin or French or study another language. That don't guarantee you're going to get a revelation. So any end of the spectrum, if you write your name in an X or if you write it in cursive, it doesn't matter to God at all. He took Brother Branham with barely a ninth grade education. He took Brother Childers with barely a ninth grade education. And we're still preaching on what they're preaching. So you come in here with your doctor of divinity, it don't mean nothing to me. It don't mean nothing to me. I've got too much experience in this thing. You know, Brother Don said they've lost common sense. I got common sense. I've seen that it's worked for people with no education. So I get nervous when you start trying to present me your education. Now, it's not wrong to get a college degree to get a job. Oh, I want you to be an engineer, but don't bring it in here. Don't tell me how your civil engineer is going to help you type through the Bible and get through the 66 books and 1,000 books of Brother Branham and how you generated it and bring up with a hypothesis or a theorem to put it together. It's garbage. You couldn't no bit tell me about the seven church ages if I gave you the book. You need the Word of God to reveal this to you. The book of Revelation was available for thousands of years and nobody could figure it out. You need the Word of God to open this up to you. But when he does, let's rejoice in it. When he does give you a revelation, let's enjoy a little bit. The rest of the world has been working so hard to get it and we just freely get the Word of God so easily. Let's rejoice in that thing a little bit. When God tells us it's true headship, let's rejoice that we got an understanding on what that means. When God tells us you better get to work, thank God he gave you a job description so you know exactly what you got to do. Oh, it's nothing worse than to have a job and don't know what to do. You're sitting there and they're thinking you're lazy because you're just sitting there. I want somebody to tell me what to do. Now, there's one side of it where it's initiative. Where you start just do something. Find something to do. Just figure it out. That's what you need to have on the beginning. When you get in here, just start having some initiative. Look around and go, well, the water's empty. Don't take rock science to know that somebody's going to need some water. I know where the sink is. I know how to put ice in the cup. I'll just start doing that. I'm just going to do something. I'm throwing up a rock. I don't know what else to do. I don't really know how to read that good. I don't know where they're going with it. And I forgot my Bible at home. Let me go ahead and get the water. What you going to do? That starts a chain reaction. So now the minister, he don't get his voice don't go out. So now he can keep breaking down the word for you. So now he can make it a little bit easier for you to pick it up. So now you done got out of your shell and said, but I'm a part of this thing. I'm identified with this thing. And now when the brothers over in Nairobi look on the tape, they say, is that Brother Jim that one that keeps sending me these tapes? Tell that brother I said hello. And then Brother Jim goes home and says, somebody in the body has recognized that I'm doing something for the body. I need to keep on my post of duty. Maybe just the water is my post. Maybe just the tapes is my post. And God will come down and vindicate that and say, yep, stay with it. Amen. Now I got my job description. Now I got my marching orders. Just started with a little bit of initiative. Amen. But when you get it, let's enjoy it. Amen. Whatever state you find yourself in, let's be content. Amen. That's what our pastor told us. When you find yourself in a state, let's be content about it. I find myself in a situation where I have a revelation that I'm not surprised by anything. Amen. Anybody can get up here and preach and I can find God no matter what. Amen. You can bring a brother up here that's been preaching this message for 40 years and I'm right lockstep with him. I'm not confused. I'm not lost. And God opens the word of God to me and I got a revelation and a trust that whatever God wants to open to me, he will open up to me. Amen. You come in here the next Sunday with somebody, a Baptist preacher, that only got 5 minutes worth of the word of God and I'm not lost at all. I see where God is at. I thank God for it. And I say, if I can't have a loaf, give me a slice of bread. Oh, see, because what will happen is Satan will get in there and you'll start diminishing people. I don't know if that was a whole slice. Shut up, you Pharisees. I don't care if it was a crouton. Put it on that salad, eat it, and enjoy what God has given you. You spoiled brat. Come in here and enjoy the word of God. And when they ask who needs prayer, everybody's hands should go up. Amen. Why? Because we do need it. Amen. This is for the perfecting of the saints. I got situations all the time. Oh, yeah, I'm a strong believer. Oh, yeah, I know God hears me. But I still want some encouragement. Amen. I still want God to hear you. I want you to get your prayers vindicated. Because then you know what happens? You get stronger. And then I get stronger. Then you get stronger. And then we get out of here. That's it. That, you know what's going to happen? We're going to come to one revelation where we don't have to be here anymore. That's what's going to eventually happen. You know, I love even how they put it, that the rapture's going on right now. You know, and I thought about that. I thought, And Pastor Moore, you brought that out even more. You said the 144,000, they got to be here now. Because the tribulation is, what, 3.5 years? So 144,000 people can't be born and saved in 3 years, 3.5 years, bunch of babies. That's not what he said he would be. He said they'd be saved in a day. And they'd recognize what the prophets were. Babies couldn't recognize what the prophets were. They'd have to be adults, mature, on the scene already. And Brother Peter O'Kale brought out the tribes. Now we all, some people know, I shouldn't say we all, but there's 12 tribes. And they're gonna be in their locations. And he said they're gonna have to be in the geographical locations of where they're supposed to be back. That's got to start happening. And if somebody else is on the land, they've got to be moved off. These are just prophecies. You talk about prophesying again, I'm just telling you what the book of Revelation says. I'm not making this up. I'm telling you what the book of Revelation said. I'm telling you what is brought out. Just like when we say the Laodicea is the age of equal rights, that was said years and years before the age of equal rights. You didn't even know equal rights meant when they said it's going to be the age of equal rights. You didn't even know what all everybody having rights would look like. But you can see it now clearly. Just like we can see the prophecies in the book of Revelation clearly. I can clearly see what the Pope's going to do now. I know it's going to get so bad that gold is going to be the only currency that's going to save them. Because nobody's going to trust anything else. You got billionaires pulling their money out of the markets, pulling the money there. Stock market's not going to mean anything. People are going to want cold, hard cash. Gold. Who has all the gold? Who's going to be able to dictate that? I'm just telling you. It's happening. And then they can fund and do whatever they want to do. It's just going to be wars and rumors of wars. You ain't seen wars like this. They thought the Cuban Missile Crisis was bad. This is terrible. This is the whole world divided. Divided. There's sometimes when, you know, now I was in the Army, and I can't profess to say that I was like some great general, nothing like that, but they did share with us, you know, some of the coming and goings of what's going to happen. And there would be times where there'd be a conflict in certain places that nobody would care about at all.
You know, there'd be, you know, we had the brother from Kenya. There'd be a huge conflict in Kenya or Africa or Nigeria or wherever, and they'd be killing thousands of people, and the rest of the world would just ignore it. They wouldn't even care. They wouldn't even pay attention. They would know what was going on, but not care about it. Less number of people are dying in Israel than died in those African apartheids. And it has divided the world. The world. The whole world cares. There's some differences. There's differences. That's all I'm saying. There's differences. I'm not CNN. I'm not Fox. I'm none of those things. I'm just telling you what the word says. There's differences. When you start touching God's people, there's differences. It's just differences. I mean, we've read about Israel since the beginning of time. What is that? I mean, we talk about the lady on the lady with the shawl out the window. Rahab, that's her name. What does she say? We know your God's real.
Amen.
We know what he can do. We've heard about him. Yes. We've been hearing about Israel's God for a long time.
Yes.
We know what he can do.
Yes.
I praise God I'm on the other side of the battle.
Yep.
I praise God that I'm going to get out of here before that thing gets crazy. So I can just watch it from afar and go, man, I have prayer for human life. I've got prayer for humanity, and I wish they wouldn't have any wars. There's plenty of room for everybody. But that's just man's greed. That's just unfortunate. But that's where they're at. That's not where I'm at. I'm sitting in light. I'm sitting surrounded by love. I'm sitting surrounded by people that believe me, that love me, that encourage me, that lift me up. There's no violence in here. I don't need a bomb shelter in here. I'm coming here to praise God.
Amen.
Thank God for the ability to praise God. We take these things so lightly, so for granted. My goodness, I'm just reminding you of my little block of ice. I was in the hospital. I couldn't eat anything, couldn't drink anything, and I finally got the chance to get a piece of ice. Oh, my goodness. That thing went down like the best piece of steak I ever had in my life. And it was just a piece of ice. Praise God for ice. I think sometimes you forget where you came from to get here. Right, that happens with people all the time, even with jobs. You get a job, you move up the ranks, and I've moved up the ranks several times, and you start forgetting what it felt like to be unemployed.
Right.
And Pastor Moore would remind me sometimes. He'd be like, how were you thinking when you didn't have that job?
Right.
What would you have done to get that job? Well, I would have cleaned the toilets. I would have did anything. I would have applied 100 times. And now they got you there, and they're wanting you to do 6 reports in a day, and you're like, oh, can't stand this job. And you're sitting at a desk in air conditioned in clothes that you want to wear, not even a uniform. You can go to lunch whenever you want to. Can sit there as long as you want to. Play on your phone when you want to. And you're going to sit there and complain. That's garbage. It's the same thing you do when you come in here. When you come in here, you've been praying about seeing God your whole life. Been praying for a healing your whole life. Been praying that God touch you your whole life. You get in here and lift the ear with God and you get bored. That's garbage. Garbage. You get in here and you want something else. It's garbage. You got the most freedom you would ever have. You got the most leadership you'll ever have. You got the best friends you'll ever get. You got the best guidance you'll ever get. You got the best leadership you ever get. You got the best support you'll ever get. Why not be happy now? My goodness. You think about all the benefits you get in here. God can speak babies into wombs. I'm telling you, infertility has been taken away. I've seen healings happen where people die and come back to life. And you come in here and get bored. It's garbage.
Amen.
Restore to me unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Amen.
Restore. Whenever you see that fire going out, start going and getting some sticks.
Amen.
Start throwing them on there as much as you can. I don't care if you got to throw a shirt on that thing. Take it off and throw it in there. It's important to have that heat because it's cold out there.
Amen.
It's important to stay hot for God because it's cold out there. Oh, that cold will take you over. Pastor Moore, you talked about if you don't use it, you'll lose it. I've seen people that could be a blessing singing. Don't sing. You don't know any words to songs. You can't be a help. Then now what starts happening, your nervousness starts kicking in more. Then your voice starts cracking, and then you can hear it. Because you can sing, but now you hear it's not sounding the same. See, if you can't sing, you don't know that your voice is cracking. You don't. You're tone deaf. It's okay. Some of us are like that. You're tone deaf, so you sing bad all the time. But when you can sing, and you're off key, you hear the musicians, and you're like, uh-oh. I'm out here. I'm on this island. I'm in A, and they're in G, and I'm in the chorus. What do I do? Then the nerves start working on you. But if you would have just gave to that gift, because it is a gift to be able to sing, if you gave to that gift, then when they get off key, you could stop it. You wouldn't be nervous anymore. You'd be like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
We're in G. Let's switch that up a little bit. Where did I get that from? I've seen Pastor Moore do it. He don't get nervous when the musicians get out of key. He ain't worried about how you feel about the song. I want to sing this like I like it. Change it. Do this one. Turn the drums up. Turn the guitar down. Okay, now I'm ready. He ain't nervous about that song no more. Why? You've been doing to it. You've been giving to that gift. And I've seen people that had a gift of singing, and they don't give to it, and you lose it. I've seen it where you had a zeal for the body, and you get around the body, and everybody's happy to see you. We enjoy you at fellowships. And then you start pulling back. And then you know what you start doing? You go, well, nobody's inviting me. We never invited you. We never did the first time. You just showed up. That's what you did when you loved us. You just showed up. You heard somebody was having a meal, and you just showed up. Now that you're in your feelings, now you want to get invited. You're just a brat. Just show up. Do what you did the first time. Restore that joy where you're just happy to get around. He said, I don't care what they're doing. Let me just go fellowship with the body. Oh, they're eating fish and I don't eat fish. Let me show up and bring myself a sandwich. I don't care. I just want to be with the body. Oh, I remember going, and we used to go to Flying Tiger, and we'd sit there, and sometimes people didn't like Chinese food, so they would go get something else. Taco Bell was around the corner. Get their food and come over and sit with the body. Those same people don't sit with us anymore. But they had such a love that they would go get food and come and sit with us. And now, if we went to the restaurant that they love, they wouldn't want to be there with us. That fire goes out. You got to keep feeding this thing. Don't ever let it go out. If it's just a little warmth over there, start throwing stuff on it. If it's just a little heat over there, you know, that's the dangers about those campfires. They tell you to make sure you put them all the way out. Because if it's a little bit of heat in there, it can come back. I'm telling you, if you're here tonight, there's a little bit of heat in there. It can come back. He can restore that joy. There's a little bit of heat in there. If you're in the house of God tonight, there's some heat in there. It ain't all the way cold. I got it too hot in here for you to be cold. I got the temperature at Miss Courtney level. She keeps the house at 90. I got it at 90 in here tonight. You can't be cold in here tonight. I got it hot for you. So that way we can restore that joy. Let's blow on it like Brother Seth said. Let's heat that thing up a little bit. Let you go out of here with that joy that you had the first time you got a revelation, where you knew that all things were possible. Where you didn't doubt God at all. You thought, when I pray, he's going to hear me. Don't let Satan take you down for that ride where you got to know so much. Well, how sick are they? What'd the doctor say? Are they taking their medicine? See, that's knowledge. That's knowledge. You're not a doctor anyway. Stop asking those dumb questions. You wouldn't know what to do if you had it. I crack up people during that COVID time period. Oh, I researched it. Oh, now you're a doctor. Okay. You've been an electrician for 40 years, but now you're a doctor. Okay. Keep reading it then. Tell me what Moderna says, and I'll get back to you. But that's just man. That's just man in general. They just want to know. They just want to know. But when you come in here, take what God gives you and just use it. Just when God gives you the word for the day, just take that and use it. Just use what God gives you. It's enough to handle whatever you're going through. God gives you everything you need to get through whatever you're going through. And don't let Satan make you have these like, my problem's bigger or your problem's bigger. My problem ain't bigger than your problem. Your problem ain't bigger than my problem. Just like Brother Lockett said, we're all equal in here. All our problems are equal. We all got big problems we got to get through. And the word's going to get you through it. The word got David through his Goliath. The word's going to get you through your Goliath. And I love how simple that story even was. David didn't have a gun. David didn't have a sword. He didn't have a spear. He didn't have any helmet. He didn't have any armor. He had a sling and more rocks than he needed. More than he needed. Let that sink in there a little bit. Like that rock did in Goliath's head. Let that sink in a little bit. David had more rocks than he needed. Had David just went down there and grabbed one rock, that would have been all he needed. But he had five of them. He was ready for five Goliaths. When you walk out of here, you got five rocks when you're walking out of here. I know you only got one big problem that you're thinking about, but I'm going to give you five rocks to get out of here. And what I want you to do is I want you to be like David. David didn't walk to Goliath. David didn't stumble down to Goliath. David wasn't afraid to go see Goliath. He ran down there, and when he was running, he said, when I get there, I'm going to cut your head off with your own sword. That's somebody that's walking down the devil. That's somebody that's walking down the devil saying, you've given me your best shot, and now it's my turn. Because Goliath was sitting there defying God. That's what got David really upset. He said, how can this Philistine defy our Lord, our God? I'll cut his head off and feed it to the dogs. And everybody's like, David, shh, be quiet. Shut up, David. You've been playing with sheep your whole life. These are boy, big boy problems now. And if he sees us, he's going to come over here and he's going to kill us. David was like, nah, that ain't going to be what it is. Why? David had been through some things. David had seen God move. David had knew that God would move when he moved. And if David had that with two battles, because he just quoted those two battles, we've had more than two battles. We've had more than two fights with Satan. I fight Satan two times on a Wednesday morning. Brother Children even said, it's like putting on my pants. Brother Children said, like, taking out Satan's like putting on my pants. I do that 300 sometimes a year. So I know I should have more faith than David had. I know I should be more bold than David was. I know when I see Satan rear his head up, I should say, you uncircumcised Philistine, I'll cut your head off where you stand. That's the kind of boldness that you should have in this hour with the word of God that you receive every service. My goodness, who else should be happy? Who else has it like we do? Who else sees what we see? I can go all the way back. I can go all the way forward. And that lets me know where I'm at right now. Oh, my. Let me read a quote. Because when you think about all this crazy stuff that's going on in the world, you think about all these things that are happening, you go, well, what time would you rather live in? Would you rather live during Genesis? Would you rather see God create the worlds? Would you rather see these ages? What would you rather live in? What did Brother Branham say about that over in the Invisible Union of the Bride? He said, I am thankful to God to be living in this time of the closing scenes of the world's history. Right. It's wrapping up. I don't know if I would have had to say so before the foundation of the world, and if God would have laid out the whole program to me. Brother Branham saying, if God would have showed him the whole plan at one time and said, okay, Brother Branham, where do you want to live? You want to hang out with Adam for a couple hundred thousand years? What do you want to do? You want to walk with Jesus? What do you want to do, Brother Branham? He said, if I would have had say so before the foundation of the world, and if God would have laid out the whole program to me and said to me, I want you to preach. Now, what age would you want to preach in, Brother Branham? Would you want to be with Luther? And now, what age do you desire to go to in the earth, the whole earth, to preach? I would choose this age, for I think this is the golden age. This is when God is in his fullness. Now, don't focus on Satan being in his fullness. Who cares? He's going to do his job. But God has raised up a standard every time to combat Satan and all of his tricks. I would want to live in this age. And I agree just like with Brother Branham. I would want to live right now. I want to be where it's the hottest. Where the word is coming across the purest. Where it's in a situation where there's no leaven among us. Where ignorance is not accepted. That's the age I'd want to live in. Where you can't be willingly blind in this thing. I don't want a mediator talking for me at all. I don't want somebody standing in lieu of Christ. I want to talk to Christ myself. And when people see me, I want them to see Christ. I don't want to die with a hope that I'm going to heaven. I want to walk around knowing I'm taking people with me. That's the joy that lies within me. Oh, what age would you rather live in? Do I want to be in Luther's age where I'm putting theses on the door and I don't know if I'm going to make it? No, I don't want to be there. Do I want to be in a Pentecostal movement where I'm speaking in tongues but I don't know if I got it because sometimes I sin? No, I don't want to be in that age. I want to be in an age where I know I can't sin. I want to know that sin's not even imputed unto me. I want to be in an age where I can walk the walk and talk the talk. And whatever I bind, God binds. And whatever I lose, God loses. I want to be in an age where I can talk like Jesus, where he says, Father, I'm praying and I know you hear me. I know you hear me. You always hear me is what he said. You always hear me. That's how I pray. That's how I believe. That's the joy that lies within me. So when I come in here, I want you to stir it up. I'm like Kool-Aid. Best sugar's been sitting at the bottom for a little bit. Stir this thing up a little bit. Let's get you a good glass. Let's stir this up. I want you to get all the flavoring. I want you to hear Isaiah sing a little bit. I want to hear Skylar play the guitar a little bit. I want to see AJ on the guitar. I want to see Sister Christy play her flute. I want to stir this thing up. I want to know that I'm surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses that when I get in here, I can lay down every weight that does so easily beset me. That when I do see a semi back up and mess up, I go, I know what's happening. I know what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to stop me from getting around the believers. And you know what it does now? I get excited. I go, I was nervous about service. I didn't know what I was going to preach about. But if Satan, if you're doing this much of a job to stop me, woo, I know I got something to say now. I know it's going to be a good service now. I know he's going to show up. And then I get here and I say, you know what I'm waiting for. Because I come here with that expectation. I love God and I love for God to just stir up that, restore that joy within me. Now you got tons of scriptures, tons of quotes, all those things, but I just wanted to stir that pot a little bit. Let's stir it up, a little home cooking. We've been going out to eat for 3 days in a row. Let me get you some home cooking in here. Let's get you some home cooking in here. Let's remind you who's here in the house. Smelling good in the house. You can smell that broth. You can hear that heat. It's warm in here. Savory meat in here. Oh, yeah. See, the church world comes in here like Esau. Oh, I'm going to die if I don't eat. I'm going to die. I've been eating all day. There's food in the storehouse. I ain't starving a bit. I got snacks. I got appetizers. I got entrees. I got drinks. I ain't one for nothing. Matter of fact, the Bible says the Son of God will never be begging for bread. I'm not in here begging. God just feeds me so much, I live in the overflow. Oh, I love this abundance that I have. I love that I you know, when I say that, I'm saying I can pray for me, and I know he'll hear me. But I can pray for you, and I know he'll hear me too. That's a rest. That's a rest, because you know what that does? I'm taking all the pressure off of you. You might be going through something where you don't think God's going to show up. But guess what? I know he will. So if you don't want to do it, I take care of it. I got the bill tonight. I'll take care of it. I got it. Don't even worry about it. I got more than enough to handle what you got. Oh, you got a sickness? I've seen him heal that. Oh, you think you're about to die? I've seen him take care of that. Oh, you got some marital issues? I've seen him handle that. Oh, your kids are going through some things? I've seen him handle that. Oh, you got some birth pains? I've seen him handle that. I can give you a scripture to read. We got the scripture that we gave Sister Kara. She was reading that and reading that and reading that. Oh, she ain't going to never forget that. You know her faith? She can never go back from that.
That's right.
When you talk about scotching your tires, it ain't going to never go back before that scripture. She's going to have to say, I know I got a word from the Lord. And he answered it, and I'm holding the manifestation of it. You can't make me doubt him now. That's how that song says. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. Oh, my. Saints, we're blessed.
Amen.
Don't go out of here thinking that you got to know so much, you got to think so much. Just praise God for the revelation that he's already given you. Enjoy what he's already given you. Just praise God for it and be joyful over it. There's no better time to live than right now. There's no better word than right now. There's no better people than right now. And Brother Branham said it, even Pastor Moore quotes it. What are you going to do then? What are you going to do when you get that group together? Why does he say it like that? Because there's nothing that can stand against them.
Amen.
Not even the rapture can hold them up. That's when it will go.
Amen.
And he said, the church will know its a position one day. And we do. We do now. We know our position. There was a time that they didn't know it. I know my position. I know I'm in the eighth day. I know I got a new birth.
Amen.
Oh, praise God and God bless you. Pastor Moore.
Amen.
How do I feel? I feel good.
Amen. How could you not have joy with what we have? I mean, I don't care if you come into church down and out. When the word starts coming forth, by the time you get to walk out the door, you should be on your tiptoes. You know, we never have one service where we leave y'all in the negative. It's not one service. You know, we might get in here and rake you over the coal and call you everything under the sun and name you and beat you and whip you, and you might feel awful. But before you get out of here, we say, but, one more thing, you're a son of God.
Amen.
Always remember that you're a son of God.
Yeah.
Oh, you might have been a bad son, but you're still a son. So it doesn't matter what condition you come in, we always walk out of here on top.
Yeah.
Everybody, you might come in at 2 or 3, but everybody walks out of here tens.
Yeah.
Everybody walks out of here with hope. We never get to a service when you get to the end and you get the altar call and everybody's running to the altar because everybody's hell bound. And then you get there and you're like, well, sorry about your luck. Oh, well, we'll pray for you. No, we always have hope.
Yeah.
We tell you the truth because you need to know the truth. But the truth is what's going to make you free. And then when you're free, you can have joy. And we out of all the people should have joy. I don't understand sad Christians. That's an oxymoron. It's like sad Christians, it just doesn't even work that way. You're either sad or you're a Christian.
Right. Amen.
Because if you're a Christian, even when you're down, you've got hope.
Yeah.
I mean, when you got hope, you got a future.
Yeah. Right.
When you got hope, you can get out of it.
Right.
He said, I won't put more on you than you can bear. So I don't care what you're going through, you can bear it.
Amen.
He said, but you just don't know. Well, I don't need to.
Right.
His word said, he won't put more on you than you can bear. So if you have to bear something, even if it's the hardest thing you ever went through in your life, shake yourself. Because you got the word of God on your side. You say, well, but you don't know how sad I am. You might be sad, but listen to what the word said. I'll make a way out. I won't put more on you than you can bear. If you're bearing, you're sitting there walking with your cross in. Oh, this is just awful. But you're walking. You're carrying it. You're making it through. When we first come to the message, you didn't know if you were going to make it to the first year. You spin around twice and you got 15 years in. Spin around a couple more times. You've been here for 40, 50 years. You're like, how in the world did I get here? He's been walking and carrying you the whole way through. He wants you to carry your cross, but you know who's under you? He is. He's got you. You got the cross on your shoulder, and you're on him. And you're over here complaining, oh, this is just awful. You ain't even carrying nothing. That's like a kid who's got a bag of groceries, and the mother's carrying the kid. The kid's like, Mama, this is hard. You ain't doing nothing. We are the most blessed group of people there are on the face of the earth. We have more hope than anybody has ever had. We have more answers than anybody ever had. If you can't have joy now, you'll never get it. Like Brother Children said, if you're going to wait till you get a bunch of money to start paying your tithes and give it to the people, then you'll never do it. If you're sitting down here moping around thinking, well, when I get over this, I'm going to be happy. You'll hop from one problem to the next. Because and you can just get older and grumpier.
Amen.
That's why I tell Clarice, don't wake up every morning down. Oh, I didn't sleep good. Oh, my back's aching. Oh, you know what? You get old and you know what you're going to do every day? Oh, I didn't sleep. Oh, my back. Oh, I can't. I was like, no, you got to shake yourself.
Amen.
Can't complain. I used to complain about winter. I did. Y'all know I used to complain about winter. But you know what? I woke up one day and said, you know what? I ain't going to complain about everything. I'm going to find something in winter that I like. And that's the last y'all heard me complain about winter. Now, winter's coming. I'm like, praise God. You know what? Think of the alternative. I don't have to be here. So if I'm going to be here, I'm going to wake up every day and find something to have joy about. When God has given us the word, he's given us an answer to everything. And now you look at it, you say, there's good. You can find good in anything. You know, that little woman that they were, there's a woman she had nothing to say bad about anybody, anything. She just always had something good to say. And then they look at her, and she walked past this dog laying in the street and says, the dog's dead. And she's like, well, he's got some nice teeth. And she finds something good about it. Everything that they thought, oh, we're going to get her this time. We're going to fix her wagon. They said, hey, Missy, got a question for you. You always find something good about everybody. Yeah. Said, we got a question for you. We got over here and talked this over, and we decided we're going to ask you. Yeah. What do you think about the devil?
Yeah.
She thought about it for a second.
Yeah.
She said, he's a good adversary. So you can find something good about anything. Every day you wake up and it's raining. You first thing, oh, that rain, I don't. Thank God for the rain.
Amen.
Thank God for the sunshine. Thank God for the snow. Thank God for the animals. Thank God for the... I got trees in my yard. They're getting ready to start dropping their leaves. I'm looking at them every day. It's like, thank God for the leaves. See, the thing is, in the hour that we are living, we should be able to find joy. You don't have to be an unhappy Christian now. Newsflash, you can enjoy this walk. You don't have to worry about whether you're going to be saved. You're not going to have to worry about where you're going to have to. But like you said, God always hears me. You know, I've got to tell you this little funny thing that just me. But I got a text yesterday, and Brother Covey's had a stroke, Brother Eric. And I was going to pray for him. I said, Lord, I said, I want you to touch him. I said, I want him 100%. Because, you know, we've dealt with stroke people before. Sometimes you get strokes and they can really wreck your wagon. I said, no, Lord, I want him back to himself. I want him normal. And I waited till today, and I texted him, because I have texted a brother before who had a stroke, and he texted me back, and he couldn't even read it. I was like, oh, Lord, he's something not right there. By texting this morning, I get this text back from Brother Covey. And we text back and forth a little bit. He texted me just as I got into church tonight and said, well, I'm home. He's at home. So I'm like, thank God. So the thing is, when I say this, I say, when you're asking God for things, don't just shortchange yourself. Ask for the impossible. And be specific. Don't just look and say, well, you know, I know cases and God help our medical teams that's in here, because they know too much. And they're like, oh, this has got to happen. That's got to happen. Oh, this, and they can't do this. Jay was not supposed to be here. Right. I mean, according to all the negatives and all the numbers and the doctors and the charts, Jay was not supposed to be here. And I'd tell Michelle every day, I'd tell Courtney, I said, we'd take it one problem at a time. Well, the doctor said this. Well, we'll just take that problem. Well, the doctor said this. Well, we'll just take that problem. And we just ate that elephant one bite at a time till he's up here preaching. He's got a preaching liver now. And the thing is, when you ask God for something, don't shortchange yourself. I mean, if you're going to ask your parents for something, you might as well go for the gusto. Might as well ask for the impossible. Because, you know, you can sell yourself short. But saying, Lord, I want to be healed, but I know I'm going to have a limp. No, you don't. You don't have no limp. And you get up and you're not happy about getting up. I don't want to wake up. Then you get up and you're grumpy about getting up. Then you, next thing you know, halfway through the day, you're still mad. Next thing you know, the day's gone and you ain't enjoyed nothing. Yeah. Come on. Right. That's a wasted day. Yeah. That's a wasted day. Jay and I took Brother O'Kale back to Indianapolis last night. So we didn't leave till 11. So we didn't get back home till 4:30. And you heard what Jay's day was like. Mine wasn't like his, but his was. But, you know, he didn't give to it. He could have laid down there. I told him, I said, I prayed God give you 8 hours sleep. Amen. And even though you can't have 8 hours in bed, you can get 8 hours rest. And so... You know, he had to get up and he had to do those things. And then on top of that, he had to preach. And I know it was going to be one of those days for him. But I said, God bless him, you know. But he didn't get up here griping and complaining about the day. He wouldn't go to mention he didn't get to bed till 4:30. But that's the way his day started. But the thing is, you take your day and make what you want out of it. It's up to you. That's what I tell husband and wives. If they want to fuss and fight and argue, it's up to you. If you want to have a home that's got peace and harmony in it, it's up to you. You know, it's whatever you want to do. We have the joy of the Lord. That's our strength. That's how we overcome. That's how we overcome in this hour. And with all the answers we have, if anybody should have joy, it should be us. If anybody should have a clear understanding of how things should work, it should be us. If anybody should be able to smile and enjoy every day, find something to smile about every day. You know, just think about what God's done for you. That should put a smile. Think about what He's given you. That should make you smile. And as you smile and you let that joy work on you, you'll get stronger. You'll get stronger. Then after a while, you won't worry about what you see when you look out the window. Whether it's raining, snowing, sleeting, you'll open that curtain and say, "My, what a beautiful day." Come on, musicians. Jay, I enjoyed that. Now, remember Elise in your prayers. She's not feeling well. She's sick, and that's why Jeremiah's not here tonight. And just keep them in your prayers. And remember Brother Okeo. He's somewhere between here and Africa, probably over the Atlantic or somewhere, heading home. And enjoyed him while he was here. And you all helped him out very much. It was good to have him here. He enjoyed himself. And don't forget about the upcoming things that we have in store, the meetings and the services. And just remember the body. You know, we have a tough group, but it's still a group. And we have to hold each other up. And remember Brother Tom. Tom, it's good to see you tonight. Yeah, well, it's good. Good to see you here tonight, Brother Tom. Amen. 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 So keep these. Amen. Thank you, Doug. Amen. Yes, you do. Because we got international. We got internet. They can't hear you. And we'll be standing here saying nothing. And they'll be saying, "What?" So come on, Sister Michelle.
I just didn't want to leave without giving God thanks and praise.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's all. And I was going to say it from the back seat, but I might as well let everybody hear me that I identify with this. I've been here for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. I stand with this. I'm so grateful that God chose me to be here. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so happy. I'm so thrilled that this word comes across. It vindicates what's inside of you all week. When God's dealing with you and then it comes across and different people say it, she's like, I know, I just know my Redeemer lives.
Amen. 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 Come back Sunday expecting. How great is our God? He's a good God. That's in the key of F. Amen. How great is our God? How great is His word? He's the greatest.